hard time with that first reading from the prophet Hosea? Anybody? Yeah, right. Our First Testament readings during the this time of the year are giving us a quick tour through the prophets. We started in the 9th century before the Common Era, that's 2,900 years ago, with the stories of Elijah and Elisha. And then we've moved up a century. So we heard from Amos last week, and today it's Hosea. Hosea was a prophet then in the 8th century before the life of Christ. We can think of his life as a psychodrama or possibly a prophetodrama. In order to communicate the message that God was giving him, Hosea lived out in his own life a relationship with a woman whom he loved but who was known to be promiscuous. And he gave his children names which indicated how far Israel had wandered from its true relationship to God. I can only assume that the community was small enough that people all around him knew the family and were brought up short every time they had to call for, "I no longer have pity, come on," or, "Hey, you are not my people." A few weeks ago we talked about the importance of names for the Hebrew people, and recently I asked you to think about what secret name God has given you. I'm sure that none of us is called, "I no longer have pity," or, "You are not my people." But in fact, after all his worrying prophecies about a country which lacks integrity and fails to care for its poor and marginalized, and how that country is wandering far from God, even Hosea offers hopes of restoration, hope of a return to God. And we heard that at the very end of this morning's reading, when it said, "In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.'" And that is the name that we've been given, children of the living God. Whatever the secret name that only you and God know, our tribal name is children of the living God. The Catholic theologian Raymond Panikkar has talked about the relationship between Jesus and the Creator, a.k.a. his Father, as filial. That's F-I-L-I-A-L, filial. Filial comes from the Latin word for son. This filial relationship is one in which Jesus can say, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." In this filial relationship, Father and Son are so close that they are one and yet different. Panikkar goes on to say that the relationship between Christ and creation is similarly filial. Creation is in Christ, and Christ is in creation. And as we humans are an important part of creation, we too share in that filial relationship with Christ and therefore with God. So when we say we are children of the living God, we are claiming that filial relationship as our own. I think this is a useful way of thinking about it because it gets us away from thoughts of gender and of age. Because children are always younger than their parents, and we differentiate between daughters and sons. Framing our relationship with God as filial takes it to a different dimension. This is no longer an analogy to human families with all their failings, but an analogy to the relationship between two members of the Trinity, the Creator and the Word. We are to Jesus the Christ as Jesus is to his Father. Wow. Yet, as Jesus made clear in the parable of the prodigal son, just because this relationship, this filial relationship exists, does not mean that we are living into it and making it an embodied reality. When the younger son went off and had his great adventure, I doubt that he called home. His father might well have called him, "You are not my son," because Junior was behaving like, "You are not my dad." So we may be in a filial relationship with Christ, but we still have free will. We can still choose to go our own way and squander our inheritance. We are members of the tribe, children of the living God. But for that to be completely true, we get to live that way. We get to make it a reality. And I think this is what the writer to the Colossians was talking about at the beginning of this morning's second reading. We heard, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So it is within that context, within the context of the undergirding filial relationship which we enjoy with Christ, that we listen to the gospel reading. This reading had four parts. First, Jesus gives the disciples an example of how they should pray. Second, he describes the importance of persistence in prayer. Then he gives us that beloved but puzzling statement, ask and it will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. And finally, he describes the filial relationship. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So how then, my fellow children of the living God, how then should we pray? Jesus does not tell the disciples to bring their grumbles, their indignations, and their aches and pains to God. Though we know from other parts of the biblical witness that God is fine with that and longs for us to turn toward her however we do it. But Jesus gives us a very specific and, in Luke's bare bones version, a very concise statement. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, my personal opinion is that this is a greeting. All of our collects start with a statement about God. For example, today the collect started with, O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy. So when we pray, we greet God, Father, Mother, may your name be honored and holy throughout creation. May your reign come. But of course, this is already getting into the prayer. What do we long for? But the full expression of God's reign on earth. But in this prayer, there are three basic requests. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive those indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. We ask that our physical needs will be met, that our spiritual needs will be met, and that we may be protected from times of great suffering. And that's it. In the filial relationship, we and the whole of creation are entirely dependent upon God for our physical and spiritual well-being, which will be ensured when God's name is hallowed and God's reign has come. And God knows all this already. But Jesus tells us to be persistent. So is God changed by our prayer? Is God really a tired, sleepy, annoyed neighbor who needs to be asked a zillion times before he gives in? I don't think so. But when we are persistent in prayer, we are changed. When we pray, we are bringing ourselves into ever deeper relationship with God. When we pray, we are claiming the filial relationship for ourselves. When we pray, we are inviting God into closer relationship with us. When we pray, we are changing the world. And Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Sometimes we want this to be a magic phrase. An open sesame! That will unlock the door and give us our three wishes. Yet who among us has not asked God for something that we have not received? So is Jesus lying? Or did we not pray right? answer lies in a deeper look at the filial relationship as we see it between Jesus and the Father Mother. We are at Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying. Come a little closer and hear what he says. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. This is the deep prayer of the Son. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what you will. When we are living that filial relationship with Christ, then what we long for most is for God's will to be done, God's reign to come. And when that is our intention, when that is our desire, when that is our longing, those words become true. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. And what is the great gift that Jesus promises? He says, if you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the loving, creative, powerful energy that emerges in the filial relationship between Creator and Christ. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the sign of the filial relationship between us and the Christ. What more?